As we prepare for the word today, we're coming from Psalm 46. We're coming from Psalm 46. Psalm 46. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Today's message comes from Psalm 146 in the entirety, and we're talking about dealing with disaster. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being our present help. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power in your word.
Yes.
Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, and worship you, Father. Yes. I thank you.
Yes.
Lord, as I attempt to preach your message, Father, I pray that you be with me.
Please.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As we look at this passage, I'm taking a fresh look at a message that I shared years ago, because it is so appropriate to this time. As we look back over the activities of the last little over a week, where we watched a Category 4 hurricane coming towards our coast.
Uh-huh.
And as it got close, it downgraded. It went from 4 to 3, the 2, and it hit as a 1.
Amen.
We were overjoyed that it hit as a 1. And as soon as it hit, it became a tropical depression. It was not even strong enough to qualify as a Category 1 anymore. And we are thankful. And we were seduced into thinking that we were out of the woods.
Yes, Lord.
Even as we saw it turn left and go towards our neighbors in South Carolina, we were spared the brunt of it. We were spared the force of it.
Tell it.
But you don't need a whole lot of wind to cause a whole lot of damage. When the rains came, and then they finished over the weekend, we thought we were safe.
Yes.
Here in Durham. Mm-hmm. Last week, praise the Lord, the storm is over now. Only to wake up Monday morning. And somehow we got the other end of it.
Yeah.
Florence was still not finished with us. My brothers and sisters, just when we think the storm is over now, there is another storm brewing somewhere. And as we look at what's happening to our neighbors, not too far away from us, we are transfixed with watching the news reports. And we are used to watching disasters, because where there are disasters, there will be the media to report for us.
Yep.
So we are used to watching the aftermaths of disasters. But then when it hits home and it starts talking about places that we've been and places where we have relatives and places that we have stayed, and we start worrying about our classmates, our family, our friends, as they tell us that the crest is not coming for days to come. And as they predict how much water will be flowing and the homes in the path, we see the testimonies. We watch the rescues. We look at people who have lost all of their possessions. But yet they can boldly stand and say, I still have what's important. Jesus said in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, there is no monopoly on mourning. When you see people in trouble, if you have a caring soul, you will mourn along with them, even if you don't know them by name. We seek opportunity. How can we help? I remember last Saturday, I believe, or Sunday morning, on the news, they were telling us, don't get rid of your water yet. Because you still might need it. But now it looks like we're in the clear of this storm in this area. But there are brothers and sisters to the east and to the southeast who are still in trouble.
Yes.
And we pray for them. There are churches in the cleanup process. They are checking out the mold and the damage that comes from the affliction of water. But my brothers and sisters, God is our refuge. And there are three truths in this passage from 46th chapter of Psalm that remind us of the dependability of God. First of all, his protection. I want to talk about that. And in case I forget, I will give you the other 2 points now. Number two, his presence. And number three, his position. His protection comes from verse 1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. A refuge is some place that we can flee to. A refuge is a place of shelter. Some of us have undergone tornado drills in our life. And there are places in buildings that are designated to go to during that time. That is our refuge. If you have a basement, they tell you to go down to the basement. But if you don't have a basement, go to the first floor and go to a central location in the house. That is your refuge. But God is our refuge, and he is our strength. At times when we are weak in the knees, because we felt like we have done all the planning we've done, we could do, and we still don't have control. We can stock up on all the batteries that they have in the store. We can purchase the biggest generator. We can get the food, the water, and everything else we need to survive. But there is one thing we can't control, and that is the way of the winds, as we talked about last week from Ecclesiastes 11. We cannot control that, so therefore we need the strength of God. When we are weak, when they tell us that there is a tornado, watch. When they tell us that the conditions are right, if it's dark, you can't tell a tornado coming towards you. Even in the daytime, you can't tell. Lord, which direction do I turn? Lord, then I get in my car and outrun this. We never know where it's coming from. So, Lord, you be my strength. You be my very present help during times of trouble. This means that God is accessible. during the times of trouble, always ready to help, a very present help in trouble. Trouble is that affliction that comes our way, the distress that comes our way, the tribulation that comes our way. No matter what we are feeling, we need to be reminded that God wants to be our refuge. God wants to be our strength. And God wants to be our help. Help. That is his protective nature of God. We see the testimonies of those who have had their storms, their buildings torn apart, their homes destroyed, trees falling on their houses, but yet they can still say, God is my refuge.
Yes.
God is my strength.
Yes.
I've been in a lot of storms in my life, but I have never had my house flooded. But I would like to think that if I did, I could stand and say, God, you are still my refuge.
Yes.
You are still my strength.
That's right.
I have not had storms of nature, but I've had other storms in my life where I've been challenged. And you know, the first instinct when you're challenged is to get fearful. The first instinct is to think about what you're going to lose. The first instinct is how can I protect what I have? But then we come to the fact to realize, we acknowledge, God, you are in control. Lord, I might not have what I used to have, but thank you for letting me have a little something, Lord. Thank you for growing me. Lord, you brought me this far. I know you're not going to leave me, Lord. Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. This is telling us we cannot fear during natural disasters. Earthquakes will come. Mountains will be carried into the sea. Mountains are considered the most secure parts of nature. Amen? Isn't that why they build the fortresses inside the mountains? Isn't that why that's the place where the president and the cabinet can go to? In the Greenbrier Mountains of West Virginia? Because that is a stable place. Isn't that where NORAD is, in the Rocky Mountains, inside the mountain? Because that is considered the best part of stability. That is a place that you cannot attack from the outside, but you cannot deal with nature. Nature will have its way. We can prepare all we want to, but nature will have its way. Verse 3, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, though the waters be troubled, though they foam over. We saw the images on television of the waters breaching the bridges and coming into neighborhoods. My brothers and sisters, there was part of U.S. 1 earlier this week where the waters had breached over the bridge, separating me from my loved ones in my hometown of Aberdeen. But Lord was still good in spite of that. Even on Friday, as I traveled through down Highway 751, I had never seen Jordan Lake so high. I can only imagine how it had been a few days earlier. All I could say was, my Lord and my God. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. This is what happened when our lives are out of control, my brothers and sisters. We can build the biggest dams, but these dams can still be breached. We can have all the precautions in place. We can have the security that will protect us from the influence of the raging waters. But every now and then, there will come a storm that can breach the banks. There will come a storm that will rage and roar through the streets and low-lying neighborhoods. There will come storms in our life, my brothers and sisters, that it will seem like the dam is about to burst. That is when we take refuge in God. And at the end of verse 3, we see that musical notation that we see quite often in the psalm, that musical notation, that word Selah. And what that means is, remember, these are songs that were sung for temple worship. And that is a musical interlude. That means that we are supposed to pause in silence, pause in reflection. That is a time in temple worship when they came to that part. They just stopped and reflected over those verses. So just take a moment right now and just reflect. Take a moment to just reflect in the storms that come. Take a moment to reflect that, yes, we can predict, but we can't control. Take a moment to reflect that God is still our refuge. God is still our strength. That God is still a very present help in trouble. I truly believe, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heavens and will forgive them of their sins and heal their land. We have looked at the protection of God. And now we're going to look at the presence in verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. My brothers and sisters, there is a river that brings gladness. There is a river that never disappoints. It is found in the holy dwelling place of the Most High. The city of God in Jerusalem is what the author was talking about. Now, it's interesting, as you look at ancient cities, as you look at older cities, you will see that most of them were built close to a river. Think about our major cities in this country. Think about the major cities in Europe and in Asia and around the world. Think of the major cities are built around water. Now, why is that? There are several reasons why. Because that is the way they transport goods in and out. That was their transportation city. Remember, automobiles is a recent, and as far as the relativity of history, automobiles is a recent solution. Before that, it was horse and buggies. Before that, it was walking. And if you think about it, why drag all these goods through horse and buggy is you can put them on a boat and let your sails take you down to your destination. So most ancient cities were built close to a river. But it is interesting that Jerusalem did not have a river like that. Jerusalem was not built near a river like that, but it still had the presence of God. Jerusalem still had the presence of God. And what this is telling us, that God's presence flows like a river that brings joy to the people. How much calmness do we get by just sitting beside the river? Have you ever taken time to just sit beside a river and just watch it? And it brings you a sense of peace. It brings you a sense of solitude. It brings you a sense of comfort. Just being by the rushing water. It doesn't have to be a grand river like the Mississippi, but it can be a small river. There's something about being near water that just calms us down. Why do you think all these people flock to the beach? Why do you think they build their houses close to trouble? Because they want to be close to that water. What this verse is telling us, that there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. God's presence is depicted as a calm and gentle flowing stream. We can be at peace down by the river when everything else is falling apart. Every now and then I need to break away and go hang out down by the river. I just need to sit down and watch the water. Watch the water just flowing. Watching the leaves and stuff in the water just go in the direction that the water is taking it. I just like to watch, and it reminds me that I am not in control of many things. But I am so glad that I have the rivers whose streams can influence my life. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. That's the presence of God. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. God is in the city. God cannot be destroyed. Yes, buildings can be destroyed, but God is not in the building. God is in the people. Amen. God is in the people. God will help her just at the break of dawn. You know, there's something special about the break of dawn. If you've ever gone through a night without electricity, if you've ever gone through a night where the house is dark, so dark that you can't even see your hand, if you've ever been through a night when you walk outside and the moon is covered by the clouds and you still can't see, that is dark. That is darker than dark. If you've ever been in that situation, you are so happy around dawn, around the time that you see a little color to the east, and you know that the sun's gonna rise soon, and you see a little orange in the distance, and you know that you're going to be able to see clearly now. As Johnny Nash once said, I can see clearly now that the storms are gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. There are times when the dawn is coming that we have clarity. When the dawn is coming, we can see our obstacles. When the dawn has come, we can survey the damage from last night's storm. Yes. When the dawn is come, we know everything's going to be all right. Yeah. Why? Because the dawn has come. And my brothers and sisters, there are a few things that are promised to us. Uh-huh. But one thing is that the sun will set. Uh-huh. And the sun will rise.
Yes.
That is something that will happen until the Lord comes and establishes his kingdom. So my brothers and sisters, God is still there because he is the one who makes the sun rise.
Yes.
He is the one that causes the rotation of the earth so that we can time the sunset. He is the one that gives us light brighter than anything we have in our house.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, I know some of y'all had to buy some flashlights in the last few weeks. And as you looked at the flashlights, there was a measurement of brightness on it called lumens.
Yes.
And some flashlights said 70 lumens. Some said 180 lumens.
Yep.
But you wanted the brightest light.
Yep.
There is nothing worse than to buy a light that you think is bright, only to get it home and realize you can't even read under that light. There is something wrong with lights that are false than advertised. But my brothers and sisters, we serve the one who made the dawn. When the sun comes up, that is a light that cannot be measured in man's terminology. That is a light that will shine on you as it shines on me. That is a light that is there for us. So wait till the dawn. My brothers and sisters, when you go through the storms in life, there is a dawn a-coming. There is bright times coming ahead. Gone are the storms that had me blind. It's going to be a sunshiny day. Amen? As we look at that, every morning, the presence of God will allow us to experience the mercies of God. I am reminded of Jeremiah's words in Lamentations 3. Verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Romans 8, Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We talked about his protection. We talked about his presence. And we're going to close out by talking about his power. His power. His power. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. Uttered his voice. The earth melted. Don't you know that God is with us during nations that are at war? When the kingdom seemed to crumble, God is still there. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And there again, you see that word, Selah. The Lord is with us. Isn't that what the word Emmanuel means? That we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. When we put our faith in Jesus, he is always with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Martin Luther wrote the song, a mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God. There is comfort in knowing that we are near the fortress. There is comfort in knowing that there is a fortress. Amen. We try to find the places that we can hide during times of storm, and a fortress is one of them. I slipped one point in on you. I forgot to mention the power. Now, the last one is the position. Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. It says, look at the work of the Lord. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burns the chariots in fire. He takes control of the wars. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When danger comes, that is the time to be still. When danger comes, that is not the time to panic. Panic is the first instinct. But after we get over that, be still. And know that God has brought you this far. God has not brought you this far to leave you right now. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The same God that protected Jacob, or later Israel, is the same God that is our refuge. The same God that protected Daniel in the lion's den is the same God that is protecting us. The same God that gave David refuge when he was on the hiding out from Saul is the same God who's providing refuge for us. The same God who provided a ram in the bush for Abraham is the same God who provided a ram in the bush for us. The same God who empowered Paul to preach to the multitudes in spite of having a thorn in the flesh is the same God who will empower us now. The same God that was in the boat when Jesus said, peace, be still, is the same God who is with us now. The storms will rage. The winds will blow. Our job is to get prepared. But in all of our preparedness, let us not forget who our real refuge is in. Let us not forget the one who is protecting us. Let us not forget the protection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our very ever-present help during times of trouble. God bless you. Dealing with disaster. Dealing with disaster. Remember his protection. Remember his presence. Remember his power and his position. God bless you. God bless you.